all of the rites, the ceremonies, the sacraments of the Catholic Church have their origin and their root in the rituals and the ceremonies of the Jewish people at the time of Christ. Rites and ceremonies that go back to Moses and the first Israelites as dictated by God on Mount Sinai. One of those customs, ceremonial customs, was that of baptism. Not a sacrament as you and I understand it just yet in the time of Jesus, or better yet, in the time of John the Baptist. It was a ritual ceremonial washing of a person who had become unclean in some way, shape, or form. A mikvah bath, as it was called. A woman, for example, just given birth, had to go through a ritual purification before she could be allowed back into society once again and be able to worship in the temple. For other people who had perhaps sinned and transgressed in some way, they would go to the Jordan River, where John was preaching a baptism of repentance. They confessed their sins before God with the intention of living according to the law of Moses and, of course, the Jewish people. They would immerse themselves with water as a sign of their dying, their old way of life, and would make the commitment to living a new life once again. It was a break with the past and a beginning of something new. For Jesus, it meant breaking with his past of a quiet, simple, hidden life in Nazareth and beginning his preaching and teaching that would end up in his death and resurrection. This is why he was baptized. It was not to take away original sin as you and I understand it, because, as I mentioned, baptism was not yet a sacrament and would not be until the death and resurrection of Christ. But that's exactly where baptism takes on something new. It has an effect on the soul that it never had before. As St. Paul reminds us, all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death. We literally die with him to an old way of life. The life of sin is killed within us and replaced by something new, sanctifying grace, new life that makes us a new creation, a new being. At first estranged from God, we now become sons and daughters of God. We become brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is given to us and draws us into the very life of the Trinity. We have indeed become a new creation. The core belief of the Christian faith is that there is only one God, but this one God is a Trinity of persons, and that the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God the Father, became incarnate. That is, he became enfleshed. He became a man like us in all things but sin, but came to take away the world's sin, to take its sin upon himself. By his suffering, death, and resurrection, Christ would become the Savior of the world. You and I, as believers, proclaim his death, and we profess his resurrection by dying ourselves to sin each and every day, something that began in baptism. And we profess his resurrection by living that new life of grace. So what Jesus did for us, what he did for us 2,000 years ago, he does in us today. By his cross and resurrection, he has set us free. So whenever you and I come together at this altar to offer to God the Father the sacrifice of the Son for our salvation, we offer up ourselves with him. We offer to God our hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies. We're asking God the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to change us. To change us, just as the bread and wine are changed into Christ's body and blood, that we may be his body on earth. That we may be his body on earth. That here we are, made holy, washed clean in his blood. Whenever you and I eat this bread and drink this cup in the Eucharist, we receive into ourselves the very Christ who offers himself for us, and we offer ourselves to him, proclaiming his death, living in the resurrection, and doing so until he comes again as he promised. A life that is lived in Christ, or rather, a life in which Christ lives, is the goal of every Christian. So yes, as Christians, we must have lives that are lived in Christ, but more than that, Christ must live in us, to the point where it's not ourselves, but Christ who is truly there, living in us and through us. For this to happen, brothers and sisters, by God's grace, the mountains of pride and sin must be leveled by humility and virtue. The valleys of ignorance and despair must be filled with wisdom and with hope. Harsh, rough souls must become placid and peaceful. The crooked ways must be made straight. Our world is dying. It's dying and it's killing itself. Killing itself in so many places where so many people will say, there is no God, and begin to worship and indulge in themselves. They become selfish, restless, angry. Other places you have souls crying out, where is God? As people suffer from poverty, war, oppression, and disease. Then there are those who will say, we have no need of God, we're perfectly self-sufficient. And they make human achievement and creature comforts the apex of life, but yet leaves them feeling empty and wanting something more, but not knowing what. And this is where you and I come in. If we profess the death and resurrection of Christ, if we believe in his coming in the flesh, if we believe that we are his body, then we must be the answer to those statements. We must be the answer to that question. Those statements that there is no God, that we have no need of God, where is God? They need to see the face of Jesus Christ in us, and then they will see where God is, that God exists, that he is there. For that, our love must be sincere. Our self-sacrifice must be genuine. We cannot simply be religious. We have to be holy. Not self-righteous, but forgiven. And with all this, we must be at peace. Be at peace with God. Be at peace with others. Be at peace within ourselves. This all happens when we find our dignity in our being sons and daughters of God. Our purpose is found in our vocation. Our destiny is our salvation. Our satisfaction can only be found in doing God's will, loving him, serving him, the center of our existence. Christ can only be found in Christianity when he can be found in Christians. I'll say that again. Christ can only be found in Christianity when he can be found in us as Christians. When the world asks why it is that we do what we do, why it is that we believe what we believe, why it is that we are who we are and say what we say, our response is that we simply love him who first loved us. And in him and him alone, we find who we truly are. We find ourselves and we find our peace. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his pathway straight and clear, that all flesh may see the salvation of our God.